Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Labdhva sudur labhamitam bahu sambhavante manusham artadam anityam apihathira turnam yatetan apatedan amrita yavan nisrayasaya vishaya kalu sarvata syat. This verse was spoken by Lord Krishna to Uddhava. It is found in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada did not comment on this verse. He didn't comment on the Bhagavatam. His commentary on the Bhagavatam went up to the end of the 13th chapter of the 10th canto. Oh, translation, by the way. Telugu translation is going on. Yeah. You want to... Telugu Anuvadam... Akara. I think that's right. And Canada, can anyone translate into Canada? I saw this. I saw a devotee who I know speaks Canada, but doesn't. I don't think he speaks maybe Tulu. But we're not speaking in English. We're in Canada or Tulu. Anyone? Canada? Tulu? Translators? No. All right. Well. And Hindi Anuvadam is going on. And ladies can work it out for themselves. Yeah, so Srila Prabhupada didn't comment on this verse directly, although he quoted it several times. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur stated that he would preach the import of this verse up to his last breath. Its translation is as follows. Yeah, there we go, it's coming up. Grace of modern technology. But we're not getting a signal to broadcast it. No. It's thanks to the rain, probably. Is it? That makes a difference? Maybe, I don't know. Alright, well, I'll read the translation instead of giving my own ad-lib version. After many, many births and deaths, one achieves the rare human form of life, which, although temporary, affords one the opportunity to attain the highest perfection. Thus, a sober human being should quickly endeavor for the ultimate perfection of life as long as his body, which is always subject to death, has not fallen down and died. After all, sense gratification is available even in the most abominable species of life, whereas Krishna consciousness is possible only for a human being. And as we have...
Hare Krishna.
You didn't finish it? Okay. And as we have the BBT purport available also, we can have a look at that. I think you can just translate it, and others, including myself, can read it from the screen. You can translate it simply. Purports are often the most, as you probably know, they're quite long and complex sentences compared to spoken. Written form of language is almost always more difficult than the spoken form. Yeah. So I also quote this often, especially in public programs when we're trying to impress on interested newcomers the responsibility of the human form of life. It's expected or understood that those who have taken to Krishna consciousness to the level of all of us who are present here today have understood the purport of this verse, understood it to at least to the extent that we have taken Krishna consciousness seriously. Nevertheless, it's good for us to be reminded, to remind ourselves of the import of this verse. That we all have to die. Before we die, we should do whatever is required to be done so that we don't get born again. Turnam, what does this word mean? Look at, go back and see. What does it say? Quickly, quickly, don't waste time. This body is always subject to death. That's exactly the words used in the word-to-word translation. No, anumritya. Always subject to death. So, it's going to happen to every one of us very soon. If we say that, people think we're cursing them. If we tell someone you're going to die soon, yeah, they think it's a curse. Sometimes I do that, please. Sometimes people get very upset. They're talking all this nonsense. They say, look, sir, you're going to die soon. They think I'm wishing something bad on them. But wish or not wish, you may wish to live forever, but death will come to all very soon. Therefore, quickly, we should become Krishna conscious, so as not to drag the matter over to another life. Once Srila Prabhupada, in a lecture, was describing the future condition of Kali Yuga, where people will have children so they can eat them. That's one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga. Does it sound possible? People could be so evil. Well, previously it wasn't imaginable that killing your own children would be normal, killing your own mother would be normal. But nowadays, literally thousands of children are killed in the world, all over the world, daily in the womb of their mother, not even given the chance to see the light of day. And even in India, there's an estimated 70 to 80,000 cows killed daily. Mothers, yeah. Our mother. And people think it's normal. Maybe some of those normal, nice people you meet, they're also killing their mothers and they're cooperating in this, killing their mothers, killing their children. Or if they're kind enough to let their children actually come out from the womb, then they kill them in another way, by subjecting them to the normal way of life in the modern world, which kills their spiritual possibilities. I must do my best for my child by sending him to the best college. And sending your child to the best college means he'll have the best opportunity to spoil the human form of life. Now, Srila Prabhupada was describing some of the future symptoms of the age of Kali. And he said, don't risk coming back. Do what you have to do now. Don't come back in this horrible Kali Yuga. So to do that, we have to remember Krishna at the time of death. Antakale chamameva smaran muktva kalevaram yaprayati samadbhavam tyajante. Is it? Yati nasyatrasya. Yeah. Anyway, you can get the translation. Yeah, those who think of me at the time of death, Krishna says, they come to me. They don't return to this material world. Of this there is no doubt. Yeah, so you already get the translation. So, but it's not just that we can just do whatever we like throughout life and think that at the time of death I'll remember Krishna. We could design a computerized meter of some sort that when it recognizes that the body is dying, then it will remind us, chant Hare Krishna. Maybe someone could design such a machine and then they could sell it to all the devotees and then we could eat meat, drink wine, have illicit sex and intoxication and enjoy ourselves. But then, you see, what might happen is the power might go off. And when you end up in the court of Yamaraj, you're thinking, when you get to the court of Yamaraj, with millions of lives of suffering there, you think that when I get back to the human form of life, I just want to find the person who sold me that machine. The only thing is, he'll be there for a longer time than you for having devised such a rascal machine. So we have to do our work to become Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness is not work, it's all play. Play! But due to our contaminated consciousness, we don't perceive it as such. But to remember Krishna at the time of death, we have to practice doing so during life. Therefore, we should do everything possible to help us be Krishna conscious. If we actually understand the purport of Bhagavad Gita, then we will be as prepared as Arjuna was to fight. Fighting means you have to do whatever is required to win. If we have an enemy who is uncompromising, expert, powerful, intelligent, then the only way that we can overcome such an enemy is ourselves to be expert, uncompromising, intelligent, and take the help of, pray for the help of Krishna. So at any time we can be cut down by Maya. In a battle, any moment of inattention, if we just yawn, then we'll have our head chopped off. It's gone. Put your hand over your mouth, and in the meantime, the head's gone over there somewhere. So there's no relaxation for those who are to be Krishna conscious. It requires our full concentration. Therefore, everyone should fully take to Krishna consciousness. Of course, not everyone's in a position to join the temple, but everyone should do as soon as possible. Those who have family responsibilities, they should discharge them in a sense of Krishna consciousness. And minimize the material side of their lives and maximize the spiritual side. And the material side also, as far as possible, should be spiritualized. For instance, if for making a living you drive a taxi, you can keep a picture of Krishna in your taxi. That's just an example, and whatever you may be doing, you can make similar adjustments. But as soon as possible, everyone should take to Krishna consciousness full time. Of course, it is possible to remember Krishna in any circumstance if one is very advanced. But most devotees are not so very advanced that they can always remember Krishna when they're doing business or looking after family affairs. And if someone is that advanced that they can remember Krishna during all activities which are not directly Krishna conscious, then they should also become full-time very quickly, because they could be a good preacher, powerful preacher. In the modern business-oriented age, we hear a lot about time management, because the companies that employ you, they want to, anyway, they work you for 12, 14 hours a day, but they want to get 24 hours worth of work out of you. So they give you so much work, and then you have to try and juggle it, and still you have to go home and look after your children and do some exercise and also eat and sleep. When I was in this body in childhood, we used to hear a lot how modern technology, within a few years, by advancement of modern technology, the machines will do all the work, and therefore there'll be so much leisure time that it'll be like a problem, because people won't know what to do. They'll have so much spare time. Ha, ha, ha.
People are working harder than ever. The machines are there to do the work, and they do various things, but then why are humans working more and more and more? Try and work that one out. Anyway, in Krishna consciousness, it's also required that there be time management. We require time to be Krishna conscious. Even if one is not a full-time devotee, still one has to be Krishna conscious. One has to chant minimum 16 good rounds, hear, chant, study the books, perform arati. All these activities take time. We also have to serve the mission of Krishna consciousness. So sometimes we find that devotees are more stressed than the karmis, because apart from their material duties, they have spiritual duties also. So one should try to live very simply. Yavan artha prayojanam. Just work for the minimum necessity that is required. And if we happen to have a lot of money, jodi thake bahudan, if we have lots of money, nije hoye okincha, therefore we should not be personally attached to anything. Vaishnava kara upakar, serve the Vaishnavas with that money. Most of our devotees are not in that position. Most devotees are struggling hard to make ends meet, as the saying goes. Make ends meet means just to pay the bills. In the modern age, there are so many bills to be paid which were not there previously. Water bill. You have to pay for water. Electricity bill. There was no electricity previously, so there was no electricity bill. In ISKCON Salem, I advised before they moved to the land how they could solve the problem of the electricity bill. I can advise all of you how you can make your electricity bill zero by a completely legal method. Don't have electricity. No! Ah! What a horrible suggestion. Bhishma, yeah, horrible. Terrible suggestion. So electricity bill, you have to, even if you own your own house, you still have to pay to live in it. Right? You have to pay to live in your house, right? In India also, right? You have to pay rates, it's called in England. The rent is one thing, that's if you don't own the house. But even if you own the house, you've paid the mortgage, which most people haven't, then you still have to pay rates. You have to pay the corporation. Even for a separate garage, you have to pay rates. Yeah. And then if you have more money than most people, you have to pay the political parties. Otherwise, they'll break your windows or something like that. Or if you're a big businessman and you don't pay, then they'll destroy your business. So many anxieties. So, one has to work. One is always full of anxiety. So at least sometime, come to a camp like this. Forget all your anxieties. At least for some time. And experience what it's like to be fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Of course, it might be difficult to just make the switch from day-to-day life to full Krishna consciousness. But please try to take advantage of this opportunity. Maybe not all of you are used to rising early in the morning, but at least while you're here, please rise early, come to Mangala at 5:30. Sorry, 5 o'clock in the morning, not 5:30. I was going to say 4:30, but here it's 5 o'clock. And then during the period after Mangala Arati and Tulasi Arati, chant the holy names of Krishna. You may meet friends who you haven't seen for some time, say hello to them, nothing else, that's all. You can speak with them afterwards, but during the morning hours, chant the names of Krishna, japa. How many devotees here have chanted 16 rounds today?
Yeah, I have to.
Of course, those who are involved in the management of this organization of this camp, we would be surprised if they've chanted 16 rounds. But for those of you who, for whom the arrangements are being made, please chant in the morning hours. And you can meet your friends later. But even then, when you meet your friends, don't waste time in idle gossip. Now that we've come here, let us be absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna, which is the purpose of this festival or whatever camp. That doesn't mean that smiling is banned. We're here to be happy. But that happiness must be on the basis of Krishna consciousness. So laugh, joke, be happy, but not in Maya. This is a 7-day camp of absorption in Krishna consciousness. Some of you who are present here are fortunate to have a 365-day camp. Those who don't have to pay the water bills or take their children to the hospital, etc., etc., etc. In material life, there's no end to the etc.s, which distract us from our real purpose of life, which is to remember Krishna. So those who are fortunate to be full-time in Krishna consciousness, they can also take this advice. Don't gossip. Don't waste time. Do you still have that on the screen? There was some in the purport. I want to read that. Short purport, but meaningful. About how people can fall away from Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we see people take to Krishna consciousness and don't remain steady on the path. They go away. So, where's that purport? Is this the right? Yeah, one can experience Krishna consciousness in the association of devotees of the Lord. It's a standard statement. It's a standard statement of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So we see that devotees who don't associate with others, they're in danger of being attracted to an impersonal conception of life. They fall away from devotional service to the Lord. So association with devotees is essential. What is that? Krishna bhakti janma mool hoy sadhu sangha. The root which gives rise to devotional service is association with devotees. Then, Krishna bhakti janmai teho kuna mukha anga. And even when one has actually attained to Krishna consciousness, then even then, the association with devotees is an essential component of one's spiritual practices. So we see that those who are too busy to properly hear and chant and associate with devotees, they fall away. Instead of coming in closer and closer and closer and closer to Krishna, they gradually drift. They come in and then they drift away gradually. So everyone should be full time as soon as possible. When you've finished your family responsibilities, wind up your home sweet home and fully engage in activities of Krishna consciousness. Or if one is male bodied, especially in this country, or in any country, then if one is not married, or there are cases of have been married and are not married now, although the wife, ex-wife, is still alive, that's also there, then just come. One can come and serve Krishna fully. I've been talking about full-time devotees and full-time devotional service. Actually, in the Vyasa Puja book to Srila Prabhupada, either last year or the year before, I saw there was some, I think it was from the congregational ministry or something, there was some protest about the use of the term part-time devotees. It was considered a demeaning term. But it is a fact that a lot of devotees, they are not engaged in direct devotional service on a full-time basis. If their goal of life, if they're sincerely dedicated to being Krishna conscious, then the term part-time devotee in that sense may not be very accurate, because if all the time they want to be Krishna conscious, then they're not in that sense part-time. But on the other hand, it is a fact that those who have no other duty than to serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas and practice and preach Krishna consciousness, their contribution to the Krishna consciousness movement and their own personal advancement is certainly likely to be more than someone who spends most of his time mending pumps or driving an auto rickshaw or doing accounts for some mundane business or whatever. Yeah, that was a long sentence. So, whether one is fortunate enough to be full-time serving in a temple, not so fortunate, and has various responsibilities. Everyone can be fortunate by remembering Krishna. Among the questions yesterday was an often asked question. I'll rephrase it a little bit, that how can we influence our relatives who are not inclined to Krishna consciousness, how can we attempt to help them to come to Krishna consciousness? Or the even more common question, how can we be Krishna conscious when our relatives are against us being Krishna conscious? It's not a new question. Not only is it not new, it's also very common in the modern age. And in every age when people have wanted to be Krishna conscious, there's always been relatives who are not supportive. This goes back to the early days of the universe and even in previous creations. Early in the history of the universe, there was one fellow called Mr. Hiranyakashipu. I guess in Tamil his name would have been K. Hiranyakashipu. In Tamil, his name would have been K. Hiranyakashipu. Isn't it in Tamil? Father's name becomes the initial. Considering some of the modern leaders of Tamil Nadu, you think that probably Hiranyakashipu was the first Tamil. Anyway, we don't want to make any anti-Tamil jokes either. Well, he had four sons that we know of. Four sons by his wife Kayadu. Ahlad, Samlad, one other, and Prahlad. Prahlad was a very good boy. Are all the young boys here very good boys? Well, we didn't hear any of them crying, so I guess they must be all very good boys. So even though Prahlad was a very good boy, his father was a very bad father. You know, he's one of those fathers who was a drunkard, His father was a drunkard. He used to get very angry. There's that kind of father is there still today. However, he did arrange for his children to go to the best school. He had lots of money, so he wanted his children to go to the best school. So he got the best teachers to teach his children how to be a first-class demon. However, Prahlad was not inclined to that kind of education. Therefore, a clash between the father and son was inevitable. Prahlad didn't inaugurate the clash. He was pretty cool-headed. He had this nasty, angry father. Prahlad was just cool and said, "My dear father, there have been many fools like you in the past who have wasted their lives forgetting Krishna." So he just kept cool and told Hiranyakashipu that you're spoiling your life. And Hiranyakashipu, he just became extremely unreasonable. Sometimes in the modern age, parents or other relatives threaten their children that if you don't give up Krishna consciousness, I'll do this or that or something else. But Hiranyakashipu, he wasn't just making threats. He was a full-fledged demon. And he literally tried to kill Prahlad. I mean, he actually wanted him killed. For instance, by giving him poisoned food, Prahlad ate it, then he came and saw his father. "Did you eat the food?" "Yes." He couldn't, Hiranyakashipu couldn't do anything to him. The guru of Prahlad was Narada Muni. The most antisocial person in the history of the universe. Narada Muni is, without being asked, he goes to all the prominent leaders in the history of time and spoils their family life. Okay, all these people, they have their nice children, and Narada just goes and spoils the children again and again. There's this nice, innocent boy called Prahlad, and his father was his great well-wisher. You know, he was quite prepared to make all arrangements so that Prahlad could also be a first-class demon. But this Narada, he came. He took advantage of Hiranyakashipu being away from home. And on the plea of looking after Hiranyakashipu's wife, he spoiled the child in the womb by giving him some genetic engineering which turned him into a devotee of Vishnu. Even before that, there was some minor family quarrel in the home of Maharaj Uttanapa, internal matter. But Narada, seeing that the child in a confused state, took advantage and advised him to worship Vishnu. And just, you know, messed up the whole family situation. Most seditious figure. You don't know what seditious means. Well, it means someone like Narada. Then, you see, Daksha, he was a very pious person. He got that position out of great piety. And he was appointed by Brahma to give birth to many children who could fill up the universe. So Daksha, first of all, was it 1,000 first or 10,000 first? Haryashvas came first. 1,000, whatever. Haryash, his sons, 1,000, therefore he's called Daksha, very expert in producing sons. Now, Daksha was not a demon like Hiranyakashipu. He was a very pious person. Well, pious in some ways. Pious in some ways. Rambha Punyavan in some ways. And so he sent his sons to perform austerity so that they could be good leaders of the universe. send them to a distant place, which is now, it seems, in Pakistan, Narayana Sarovar something like that, where the river Sindhu meets the sea. Narayana Saras, that's what it's called. So anyway, what happened, this Narad found out about it. And he didn't even inform Daksha or take permission. He's not even a gentleman. And he went and preached to those innocent boys and told them, Ladva sudurlavamidam bahusambhavante manusham ardhadam anityam apihadhira turnamyate tadapatadanam rityayava nisrayasa vishaya kalu sarvatasyat. Become Krishna conscious. And they did. And they never came home. They became Krishna conscious and went back to God. Meanwhile, Daksha's waiting, what happened to my sons? Then he found out, Narada got them. I should have been more careful. Anyway, what to do? If you fail the first time, try again. So then he had 10,000 sons, the Shavalashvas. Send them off to do austerity. Narada, he should be satisfied by now. They already spoiled one batch of children, so... he should understand, I've got important work to do to fill up the universe, so let's hope Narad behaves himself this time. Narad went and found the Shavalasvas and said, you should follow your elder brothers. It's an important principle to follow your elder brothers, so you do that. And they did. Then Daksha lost his temper. He said, what actually happened was Daksha was lamenting at the loss of his latest batch of sons. He should have been happy, but he was lamenting. So Narada thought, now he's lamenting, now's a good time to go and preach to him too. You could tell him that, if you want to be with your sons, they're not coming to you, you better go to where they've gone. But Narada didn't get a chance to preach to Daksha. Daksha said that, you think you're a holy man? You're simply a spoiler of families. So actually, I'm a much better satyr than you, Daksha said. You're just an irresponsible vagabond. There's no Tamil word for vagabond. There are plenty of vagabonds in Tamil now. It means someone who wanders around with nothing to do, no responsibility. Yeah, something like that. You see, I'm actually doing something useful for society. I pay my taxes. I have my factories. I'm employing so many people. And that's not Daksha speaking. That's bad. People in the same mood in the modern age may say that. See, I'm a responsible person, and you're just messing up all the plans that we have to improve society. So it's very difficult to understand Narad Muni from the perspective of most people in the world. Daksha was right. It's not so easy to be in the camp of Narad Muni. All the Dakshas will curse you. Daksha was a very respectable member of society. But he was a fool. Because he didn't know the actual purpose of life. And opposed those who were helping others to come to the actual purpose of life. So such people will always be there. We'll always have to deal with them. There will never be a time in the history of the material world where the preachers of Krishna consciousness do not have to contend with the Hiranyakashipus and the Dakshas. But we ourselves should follow the example of Narad, Prahlad, the Haryashvas, the Shavalashvas. I mean, Prahlad could have said to Hiranyakashipu, well, actually you're right. I'm a bit messed up by all that stuff I heard in the womb. But anyway, I'll be a good son. It'll make life easier. Now, why should I upset my father and my mother and my brothers and everyone else? But Prahlad felt that the instruction I got from my guru is actually for my self-interest, so no one else knows what is my self-interest. And he was so convinced of that, that even though everyone around him was against him, and they were all superior to him, he was only a little boy, he remained firmly fixed in following Narada. So definitely we will have to face Dakshas, Hiranyakashipus, and so on and so on. Exactly how we deal with them, that will be different in each case. We could, like Narad, try to convert the Daksha into a devotee. Sometimes it works. Sometimes those who are completely against their children or their husband or whatever, being Krishna conscious, in course of time they turn around and they also become Krishna conscious. So if our husband or wife or father or mother or brother or sister or relative doesn't like us being Krishna conscious, that doesn't mean that we have to pray for Nrisimhadev to incarnate and rip them to pieces. But it also doesn't mean that we should compromise or give up our Krishna consciousness. Remember the example of Prahlad and so many others, and remain steady in Krishna consciousness. As Krishna has shown again and again, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. He told Arjuna to declare that my devotee is never destroyed. There may be setbacks, but if we remain faithful to Krishna, then Krishna will certainly help us. So we should all do whatever is required to be Krishna conscious. Throw ourselves toward Krishna. Atma nikshepa. This means to throw ourselves to Krishna. Krishna, I am yours. If we want to retain material attachments, then we cannot attain Krishna. Hare Krishna. I finished there. Time is up. If anyone has questions specifically related to this class, please write them on a piece of paper. And give them to... Are you going to be doing the questions and answers every day? Anyway, give them to Sri Giridhari Prabhu and tell him that they're specifically related to the class. And then we'll deal with them on a priority basis. Which is a long way of saying... First, I'll deal with them first. That's like modern English technical speak. When they say something in six words, they can just say in one word. Anyway, that's got nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. It just shows funny consciousness people are in the modern age. They always try to make something sound very complex, even if it's just straightforward. What are they have this toilet cleaners, they call them... There's some fancy names like utility supervisors or something like that. Prostitutes became sex workers. Like this. They give everything some fancy names. Hare Krishna.